Today is Monday, May 13th, 2024, and you're listening to the Ask a Christian podcast. I'm your host, Nate. All right, Christian news. Why is it all Skittles stuff? I don't know. Someone email these people. Like, every time there's something going in the church, it's all Skittles related. By that, I mean LGBTPS. There's always something to do with that. We finally find one article that is not that, but it's overwhelmingly that. I mean, I guess that's because that's the front everything is on right now. Okay, so apparently Miss Pentecost takes over a pastor sermon and does a drag show for, I guess, a Sunday service. So anyways, that's what starts this off. Then, for some reason, we go Willy Wonka and talk for, like, way longer than we should about every kind of candy, dehydrating candy, making ice cream sandwiches dehydrated and freeze-dried, and a bunch of weird root beer sarsaparillas stuff. So I don't even know, man. If candy and soda and sugar is your thing, let's talk about all the fun ways to dehydrate it, I guess. And then we get into dreams. Does God speak in dreams? Can he speak in dreams? And I have a dream I share. It's quite odd. And then we get an interpretation from ChatGPT. Don't use ChatGPT for dream interpretations. Actually, don't use anything for dream interpretations. If there's some spiritual thing you can think about, a verse or something in a Bible that you can meditate on, great. But don't take it too seriously. That's how people get sucked into cults. Don't join a cult. Then we get into mind stuff, and is the subconscious the thing? Do people deny it, or does Chris only think people deny it? Then we have a Christian survivor talk in our rapidly approaching dystopian apocalyptic world. Who on the clubhouse stage will have what job? I think they voted me as a dictator, guys. I think they voted me in as that. So I'm just gonna run with that. I will be kind to my subjects at first. anyways. So, you know, what's that thing? God says he won't give you temptation more than you can bear. If I had absolute power, it'd probably be really bad. And God knows I can't handle that, because that would be temptation beyond what I could bear. So I have no power. Anyways, then we have a quick red heifer conversation. Apparently, Steph has recently heard of this. So what's the significance, if any, and why does it matter, if at all? We talked about that briefly, and now I have to run, because not only did one kid get braces, now we have to go have dentistry work for another kid. These little, like, money, it's like reverse ATMs. You just keep feeding money and money and money. Ah! Oh, but we love them so much, don't we? Okay. Have an awesome day. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Let's talk about something not controversial at all. Dude, like, I don't know why I gotta focus on this stuff, but everywhere I look, it's like, okay, what's good? What's new in Christian news? Well, more Skittle stuff. I don't try. It just happens. Like, give me another topic. You tell me something arguing about doctrine. But, okay, so, family-friendly drag clown pastor compares himself to Peter while complaining the church has harmed queer people. Let's see. Allendale United Methodist Church is already under fire for allowing minors to attend drag queen shows during its worship service. This is a drag queen known as Miss Pentecost is now an ordained pastor or priestess or whatever in the UMC. let's see. They openly challenge authority of scripture. In the most recent display of egregious sex cult abhorrent behavior, this place calling itself a church performs drag clown, platforms a drag clown who goes by the name of Mama Ashley Rose. Mama Ashley Rose. Chris, is this your church? Compares himself or herself to hermself to the Apostle Peter while complaining the church harms queer people because they don't affirm sodomy. And I think for us as humans, we forget to give our hearts or open our hearts to people. And there's a certain amount of, it takes a certain amount of vulnerability. You know, Peter had to be vulnerable. He had to be vulnerable, first of all, to remember that he had already denied Jesus and that he had already made these mistakes. And Jesus is like, do you love me? You know, I'm just going to stop right there and say there's a big difference between Peter realizing, like, yeah, I made a big mistake, and other people who are like, hey, affirm whatever I say, or you're something bad. Anyway, how's that for Monday morning, Chris?
Nate, where do you find this stuff? Like, I mean,
Dissenter.com and Protestia.com. They're like all the Christian news, but it's all just about gay stuff. Because I guess that's the thing, that's the carrot in front of the horse. Like, that's the thing getting everyone's attention, because apparently it's happening constantly.
Well, I mean,
Chris, we don't hear you, Chris. Yeah, Adam.
Why are you guys so down on Dippity's church, man? Jeez.
Believe.
Chris, did you also have a good Mother's Day? Are you back to? Are you still identifying as Mama, or are you back to identifying as Chris?
I'm a plant mama. Have you seen this?
No.
Oh yeah, there's like a whole cadre of feminazis that are very upset that Mother's Day is not for them, even though they're plant mamas.
Oh, I've heard like the animal mama. Like I'm a cat. I've heard the cat mama thing. So this is like just another. Oh.
Or dog mom. Yeah. Like now they're upset that mom is being so narrowly applied to women who had children.
Chris, have you heard about this egregious thing? I just reading the headline. It's Protestius, so I know it's your website. Disturbing new, quote, Christian conference features Vody Bakum, John Cooper, the skillet guy who's been pretty solid in everything he's done before, and Mormon Glenn Beck. All right. You know about this? What?
Yeah, it's a political conference.
Oh, so he would be fine being on the stage with, like, the devil if it was just for politics and not, like, under the name of God?
I mean, I'm not a fan of it. I think Vody should probably not do that, but, you know.
Highly disturbing new conference has emerged featuring Jason Whitlock, John Rich, Vody Bakum, Skillets John Cooper, and Mormon Glenn Beck. Yeah. Let's see. Fearless Army Roll Call 2.0 is a gathering celebration encouragement. Political encouragement to put men, encouragement of men to put on the full armor of God and take a stand against the, evil forces, in the American culture, insisting it's important not to give up meeting together and encouraging one another towards, love and good deeds. What is Roll Call? It seems like talking a lot about God. I guess you could see how there's overlap. I mean, John Rich is there. I don't know who Jason Whitlock is.
He's a political commentator.
Bring men together under the umbrella of worship, reverence, song, and song honoring our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this conference is designed to inspire men to put aside superficial differences, like being a Mormon, to share to our shared Creator. Let's see.
Yeah,
this might be possible if noted Glenn Beck wasn't speaking and teaching. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Yeah. What does light have with polytheist cultures? For a brief overview on Mormon Jews of Jesus, they have a link, but I'm just going to say watch the South Park episode. So as long as Beck is speaking, we would implore John and Vody to back out immediately, as no one should be going to the conference. In fact, even if Beck backs out, the fact that the conference organizer invited him in the first place demonstrates the interest in the gospel. Yeah. What you doing, Vody?
Yeah, it's not great. Nobody's perfect.
Well, that's all I got. What's on your radar?
I'm a Christian, and I watch the regular news.
What's the regular news?
I don't go looking for Skittles news. Like, that just seems...
Oh, no, this is like...
Isn't the regular news run by the Skittles crowd?
Yeah, but this is supposed to be church stuff. Yeah. But all the church topics have been infested with Skittles stuff. So it's not like, you know, this presbyter is fighting with this congregation this month.
Exactly. Why is the church so obsessed with all the Skittles topics? That's not the only news going on in the world today. Hello? There's lots of news going on in the world today. They should do better about covering a wider range of topics that are important to Christians.
Hold on. Wait, I just want to set the stage. Like, this isn't supposed to be like, these sites aren't supposed to be like the wider range of news. It's supposed to be like news directed towards Christian issues and the church. So it's like, you know, no one's going to talk about really the war in Syria, right? They're going to say, go watch other traditional news for that, because this is supposed to be like to the church. So you could try to twist it in a way where it's like, okay, well, look, there's some overlap. We can make a story, but it's really supposed to be like directed towards what's going on in churches. But it seems the hot thing going on in churches is all Skittles stuff.
And that's my point. It should not be. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today that Christians should be concerned with. Israel-Palestine, for one. Okay,
right,
that's a big one right there.
Right, but the point of these sites, Protestia and Reformation Charlotte, are polemic sites specifically about the church only. It has right. nothing to do with any, like, if you want that, you can go to Christian Post. Like, Christian Post has tons of stuff like what you're talking about. It's a general news site. These sites are literally narrowly focused only on what's happening in the church.
Okay, so what about all the apostasy going on in the church? What about the
It's all Skittles apostasy. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, what about
They've got all the charismatics. I mean, they do 100 stories on charismatic nonsense. Like,
oh, I have one. Like, hang on, I do have one. I saw it. Hang on, let me skip through this. Hang on, I did see one. All right, here's exactly what you're talking about, Dippity. If I can find it, come on, I saw something about Benny Hinn.
Oh, neat.
What? It's not Skittle stuff.
I know. No, like, Benny Hinn is scrubbing, like, all of his content because he got caught by Mike Winger.
Here it is. Tell us that in a minute, because I don't know about it. Okay, so this just says, like a dog returned to his vomit, Benny Hinn once again repents of the prosperity gospel. Is that what you're talking about, Chris? Or what are you talking about?
No, so Benny Hinn just went and just did a whole tour in Africa, and it was horrendous. And he stole a bunch of money from a bunch of poor people. And, like, Mike Winger, who is he's a YouTuber, who's not a Calvinist, by the way. Just, you know, throwing that out there. He actually does videos with Leighton Flowers. Anyway, so Mike Winger rolled into a 4-hour overview of all the stuff that went on with Benny Hinn and his Africa tour with a deep dive with videos and stuff. And Benny Hinn and his legal team went through scrubbing YouTube to try to remove all of the video content so that, you know, he could hide. And so that was like a big story. And then he's criticizing Mike Winger for using fake videos, which they're just the videos that his legal team scrubbed. So.
And these videos are showing, like, supposed miracles or him talking about how he needs money for God's blessing.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I mean,
the video
just
is showing.
Like, the worst of the worst prosperity stuff. Like, you know, if you give me, you know, $5 because that's your life savings, you know, you'll get $5,000, you know, that kind of thing.
So there you go, Dippity. There's an article I found on here in the deep recesses that's not directly tied to Skittles.
Yeah, I mean, they have some Skittles stuff, but it's mainly, I mean, like, there's going to be they have all kinds of stuff about Mark Driscoll. They did all kinds of stuff about the pole dancing. They did all kinds of stuff about, I mean, like, you know, they've got tons of different stuff. I think they just had a story about the modern. Have you seen these pagans from Ireland? There's like,
the
witch.
Yeah, the queer witch chick.
Yeah, who's a literal witch who does like blood magic and stuff, and it's like,
and
it's
has
really
her, like,
gross.
Weird animal forest gimp, like, she totes around with her. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like half painted.
Like, where? It's like the most unholy Lucky Charms ad ever. It's like, where queer? Where queer? Wah! Wah! And then she just starts screaming until they cut her off. It's like, where queer? Where Ireland? Where queer? Ah! I'm like, oh my gosh.
I wanna know what y'all have against Skittles. They're delicious. They're the most delicious candy out there. And
someone clip that.
With them,
yeah, like, especially as a truck driver. Bad. That's a little sus.
I like them better that they took the green apple out and brought back the lime. Oh my goodness, that's my childhood right there. Lime instead of green apple Skittles. Whew.
Just as an aside, you know, like multicolored candies. Like M&Ms and stuff. Do you know why rock bands, and Nate probably knows this, but do you guys know why rock bands will say and a bowl of only green M&Ms in the green room? Or a bowl of only black or brown M&Ms?
Why would you think Nate knows this? Nate does know this, but why would you think Nate knows that?
Because you're involved with music, so I figured you would know this. Do you guys know why they do that?
No, I knew they did it. I just don't know why.
So, specifically in contracts, there was an interview.
I just thought they were bougie rich folks.
Right. So, nope. What the deal is like, there's a lot of stuff in contract riders for safety. Things like, you know, there's certain ways you can, like, literally electrocute yourself on a stage. From what I understand, I know nothing about AV, so.
And this is to make sure they're paying attention to the contract.
100%. So, like, if there's not green Skittles in the green room, then they're like, oh, crap. Like, we need to check everything that this promoter is doing in this concert because they didn't read the contract. So that's the whole deal, why they do that.
Wait, what? I don't get it.
That is not the answer I was going to give.
What is the answer?
So the answer is, if you're reading the, like Dippity got it, like if you're reading the contract and it says at the very end, like, by the way, the band requires a bowl of only green M&Ms in the green room, right? Well, the point is if they read the contract, Ryder, and it's a contract that they signed legally, they would provide the M&Ms. If the band gets to the green room and the M&Ms are not there, or there's just a bowl of M&Ms, then they know that the promoter is chintzing on the contract and that they need to double their efforts for safety because they could get killed.
I don't know the link with the get killed part, but I can understand, like, it's like a trap to make sure that the person read the contract. But, like, what's the point in the get killed part? Like, read contract so I don't die?
So, yeah, if you have pyrotechnics on stage and you have very specific things that they have to be aimed at a certain angle, they have to be a certain power and all this other stuff. Like, do you remember the bar that had the pyrotechnics and it burned the place down? Like 100 people died about 10 years ago.
Was that White Snake or Great White? It was one of those, right?
It was one of those. Yeah, it was like a hair metal band. Yeah.
Is this because people that are doing these things, they don't know what they're doing? Like, what? I don't understand.
No. So, like the band.
So like if they say the pyrotechnics must be like 25 feet away and they don't get the Skittles color right, then the pyrotechnics, then you'd be like, close enough, and it's 15 feet away. And because like these glam rockers use like 10 gallons of hairspray, it'd be like, no, 15 feet, and it like ignites and blows everything up.
I see. So, okay, that makes sense. Like, I can understand that, but I'm like, isn't
attention
that their
to
job to, yeah, okay, so, okay.
So the promoter's job, the way that music works is like the promoter puts all that stuff in place, and they hire teams to do that. But if they're not reading the contract riders, then they could do what Nate said and put the pyrotechnics too close to the band and people can get hurt. You know, there's like a whole host of things that can go wrong. And if they're just, you know, willy-nilly not paying attention to details, then that could be a problem.
That makes sense. Okay, so now I learned something new. Thank you. Nate, what answer were you going to give?
Oh, this is a Christian show. I can't say.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, never mind.
Now I have no idea what you were going
to
say.
Nate was going to go to the gutter.
I guess. I don't know.
Hang on, let me see if I can tell you to search your
There must be X number of blonde groupies.
I don't know.
Like,
but look, yeah. I was watching Jelly Roll once and I watched
What's a Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll is an artist. I like replayed it in my mind. He almost fell. Jelly Roll's a big man, a very large man. And he is singing his heart out, and he tripped over, I guess, just the chords, and they're really thick. These chords are huge.
Talking about the concert?
Yes. And he tripped, and oh my gosh, you've seen people forward fall until they finally get their feet up under them. Almost rolled. Jelly Roll almost rolled. It was the funniest thing, and now I'm cry laughing because, like, I just started picturing it again. I'll never forget. Google Jelly Roll. Picture of Jelly Roll. Right now.
Google myth behind green M&Ms and then say nothing more of it. Well, Courtney, let's see if we can continue the cycle of learning. Do you agree with the PTR about the different bear types and how you should handle them?
No, I was going to ask you why. Why do you wake up and choose violence?
I'm just gonna like change it every day until I run out of the PTRs I've got saved up on the bear thing.
Is this some kind of weird like racist thing?
It kind of seems like it. So like I was like, what is he doing? So I clicked on his PTR when I first joined. I was like, oh, he's got a new bear versus man PTR, and I clicked on it, and I was like, Nate, bro. This is a Christian room.
No, outdoors lady. You should know this.
No, I get the joke, but it's like an innuendo.
Only if you're racist. What are you talking about? If it's a black bear, they tell you to fight it because of, like, you know, their natures are if you fight it and stand up, they typically run away. If it's a brown
bear, I know that.
Grizzlies.
I get the but you don't get the other side of that, the stigmas.
I get how you can twist it if you're that type of racist person, which we don't play here.
No, I know, but that's why I thought you did it. Like, I thought you were like, oh, this will be extra funny. And I
what
was like,
what do you think of me?
No, I don't know.
That you're in it for the lulls?
That you're in it for the, yeah, for the laughs.
The non-racist lulls, the bear versus man lulls, not some other weird. Hang on, let me just, for the people who can't see the PTR, who will not watch and pass judgment on us all later. It is a bear standing here looking all cute and innocent. And then there's the common mantra that, you know, if it's black, fight back. Meaning, if you stand up to a black bear and, like, you know, project threat, it will typically run and wants no part of you. If it's brown, lay down. A brown bear, not counting grizzlies, you're dead anyway. If it's brown bear, lay down, play dead, and, you know, they would typically lose interest. If it's white, say goodnight. Meaning a polar bear is, like, you know, a massive monster. So if you ever, like, get around a polar bear, you're just dead. Is the point.
No, I get the point. It's just, I'm like, whoever made the meme, like.
Okay, fine. Here, I'm changing it. Here. Find something wrong with this one. There.
I remember that day that Nate joined the Nazi party.
I hate you all. There. What's wrong with that one? Just a bear strolling in the woods with a mom and kid.
Hold on. I'm dropping my kids off at school. Hey, grab your book bag. Noah. I love you. Have a good day. Okay.
Remember, kids, see, tell your teacher the bear thing you just heard.
I mean, that one's very wholesome.
Thank you.
There we go.
I mean, the other one's fine, too. Just saying. Welcome to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. Did Noah get his book bag?
He did get his book bag. Yeah, that kid moves like molasses in the wintertime. It's funny because the other day I was so frustrated by, I almost don't want to say anything because when I say something, it's like he freezes up and goes even slower just to get on my nerves. And so the lady looked at me and she goes, he doesn't do this when dad drops him off. And I looked at her like, thank you. Thank you for affirming everything I already knew. Thank you. But yeah, my husband has like this magic. Seven, first grade.
Oh, dude, wait. You just wait till he's a teenager. Then the teenage boy never going to wake up thing kicks in, and your 14-year-old literally has to be carried to the car in the morning some mornings.
Are you serious? Dump a bucket of ice water over that kid's head.
He's getting squirted in the neck with
bucket
water.
Of water.
I'm telling you.
No, because then I got to clean the mattress.
No, you all don't. Right. I was about to say, then they got to say, I got to clean the mattress. No, you let them sleep in that wet for a few days, and they want to pick the floor over the wet mattress.
Yeah, and then mold grows, and then I got to buy a new mattress.
Throw the mattress outside. Make them buy a new one.
These are things Nate doesn't think of because he's got his wife taking care of mattresses.
To be fair, I've never had to do that. Because I told my kids one time, I'm like, if I have to do this, I will do that.
You have girls. Doesn't count.
Seriously?
I want to beg to differ.
No, girls are. Girls have got. Really?
They mature.
I have the 14-year-old girl that still does not like to get up, but I'll be damned if I'm picking her ass up and carrying her to the car. No.
Ice water.
Instead, I'm like, don't make me get ugly. Don't make me get ugly.
That was basically to embarrass him, though. Like, the whole key to, like, teenagers and getting them to do what you want them to do is, like, embarrass the crap out of them, then they'll do it. So.
Yeah. Kids don't care. They've been embarrassed too much.
I just prefer, like, rule with an iron fist. I mean, if Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron, we can shoot him with a super soaker. That's all I'm saying.
Yo, I will super soak the heck out of him, but I ain't pouring a whole bucket because I'm all about, like, worrying. I live down in the South. Listen, we got high humidity. Mold growth is a thing. I have four dehumidifiers. I use three of them in my house on a rainy day. Like,
how much do they fill up in a day?
If I turn them on and run them from morning to night, I can dump probably three buckets.
Huh.
Not on all three of them, but yeah, it depends on how the humidity is outside. I woke up this morning and my husband had left the one on in the bathroom. My eyeballs were dried out, and I was like, oh, my God, I can't open my eyes. But Yeah, it's a thing. It's a really bad thing down here. Mold growth underneath, like, crawl spaces. It's why I built my house on a slab foundation. See, when I lived in Florida, everything was, like, monolithic slabs down there, and I didn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. But, I mean, you still had mold growth, but it was, like, it's not under a crawl space because they didn't have too many crawl spaces where I lived.
Oh, yeah.
Can you all finish talking about waterboarding your kids before the atheists get here?
Yes, so definitely.
I had a dream about Michael last night, if anyone wants to hear that.
Oh, you what now? My gosh. Wait till Michael's here. I'm sure he would love to hear about
you. You had a dream about Michael?
Yes, well, he was in the dream.
Oh. Is this like an Adam thing where it's like truck stop Skittles stuff? Or?
He was dressed in a bear costume? No.
Yeah. He was, he's the company of a Canadian bear.
Wait, you chose the bear and the man.
He is the man same. Bear.
No, it was, you know how like all the malls are like
Skittles
dying
are
like,
delicious, Chris. Get over it.
I'm just
how
saying.
all the malls are dying and like half of them are like empty now. It was like that, and like how one of the ends of the mall, like where all the businesses were gone out from it. And there's only like two shops barely hanging on. So like half the mall, this major mall, was like all dark and dying. But there was like just a handful of stores. One of those stores, it was like a flower shop or something that had recently gone out of business. But there was like a little annex next to it that was still part of that store. And it's like whoever owned it was subletting it. So I went there one time in my dream. This is like a multi-week dream. So like this is the very first time I had this dream. So I was in this like dark end of the mall, and there's like a couple little spotty shops. One of them was like a vacant flower place, but they still had the building open where you could get into it, the store, because they were subletting like a little extra office area on the side. So I walk into this empty, like abandoned store, and then go off to the side that's being sublet. I open it, and it's like one of those, almost like a Spencer's Gift, like one of those really small type stores. I go in there, and it's like a bunch of like satanic bookstore stuff. So it's like this satanic bookstore. I'm like, wow, that's creepy. And there's like weird candles and like, you know, stuff around. And I just kind of walked around and no one was there. So I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. So I left. And then last night I was back in that mall. I was like coming in like one of the back entrances, and I came in and I was right by that store. And I noticed now, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And that flower shop had turned into like a Christian book Bible store. And they had like a Demon Hunter playing. So it was like the weirdest, like Christian hard rock Bible store. So not like the one with like little pastel colors and church flowers and lilies, but it was like very, very like rough, but still Christian. And they were selling Bibles. Anyway, so I walk in there, I'm like, this is interesting. And then I'm like, I wonder about this. I wonder if that other store is still there. So I go into this other offshoot where the Satan store was. And it was still there, but it looked like it was being cleared out and everything. And then so I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I guess it makes sense they can't survive around here. So I walk back out, and Michael is kind of like one of the little pop-up shops in the center, like one of the little kiosk things. Michael was behind one, and he's kind of like had like some kind of like hood or something, like he was like hiding under his head like a cloak. I'm like, what's up, man? I'm like, and I didn't realize it was Michael yet. I'm like, hey, was that your shop? Was that your store? He's like, yeah. He's like, I just can't make it there. I'm like, you know, the Christian store put me out of business. He's like, I just can't make it. I'm like, Michael, is that you? He's like, oh, hey, yeah, man, what's up? And then my cousin like comes around the corner, who's like 50 and whatever. She's like 50 single. I have no idea why she was there, but she comes around the corner, and he's like, yeah, I got to close down, but all right, I'll see you later. And it was like my cousin, and they were dating, and then they like just walked off and like walked out in the parking lot. I'm like, wow. So that's my dream.
What do you believe Michael's presence represented to you?
I don't know, but it's worth paying $10 for one of the clubhouse profits to analyze that dream.
I think we can get, I'm driving now, but I'm pretty sure we could get ChatGPT to do it later.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Let's see what it says.
You're very quiet, Chris. Did you expect something better from that dream?
I mean, I always expect better. No,
sorry.
Yeah, you're disappointed.
I failed you, Father. I failed you.
What's
ChatGPT?
Oh, here we go.
He's trolling.
No, I'm honest. I'm being honest.
An AI.
What's an AI?
You can chat to it and it'll ask. Steve's. You can ask it stuff and it'll tell you. It's like a better version of Google search.
That sounds freaky.
Good morning, Steph. Would you like to take a crack at my dream interpretation?
Well, I think
he lives rent-free in Nate's head. What about you, Steph?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're probably spending too much time with Michael at this point would be number one. Sorry, I'm considering how to answer your question, but I'm also watching my daughter feed her hair clips to the dog, and he's actually eating them. Stop that. Stop. So, dude, how have dogs survived this long? Give me that.
Oh, it's like the ones, it's like the meme you see, and it's like, we were the great protectors of the North. And it's like this giant, like massive, like gray wolf or whatever. And then it's like, we will never be dominated. We are the masters. And then you see it like, you know, 20,000 years later, it's like a little teacup chihuahua with bulging eyes, like dressed in like a little, like a little like crocheted outfit. And I'm like, that's hilarious.
Exactly. I mean, I have a golden retriever. It's not, but he seriously just ate two of those hair clips before I could stop him. That is, I hope he's okay. Anyway. I think that probably something along the lines of, you know, Michael's conversion is imminent, but it's going to come at a dear cost to you, such as him being at your Thanksgiving dinners from now on when he's dating your cousin. So that's, yeah, that's my interpretation of that dream.
Like, that was just a weird cameo. Like, that happened, like, I have no idea. I haven't talked to my cousin in years. I have no idea how that happened. It just kind of, that was like just a cameo at the end.
The Lord is telling us that he...
Whew! So,
hey,
yeah.
Sidebar. Did you... Really fast. Indiana, have you ever had freeze-dried Skittles, and what do you think of them?
No,
I have. I have, but it's weird, because...
Of course
the gas station... No, listen. Just listen. The gas station Circle K... They have freeze-dried Skittle Rice Krispie Treats. So they have the regular Rice Krispie Treats, and they put the freeze-dried Skittles in them. So that's how I've had them. And it's not that bad.
What's it's this you're saying? Freeze-dried? Freeze-dried
yeah.
Skittles?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
wait.
Yeah.
Why would you need to do this?
Well, this is just, my question.
It's not... Well, it just creates a new product. That's all you're doing. So I have a freeze dryer. And so, like, last night we ran... jelly.
You ran jelly roll through your freeze dryer? That sounds disturbing. Since
oh, I do just have a weird dream.
No, Jello. I forget what they're called. It's basically like Jello. Ice cream sandwiches. And the ice cream sandwiches are fire. They're awesome.
Wait.
But you're basically just taking candy and you're creating a new product. What freeze drying does is it makes everything really crunchy and airy. So Skittles, like, I don't like eating Skittles because it creates this thick spit, like this gooey, like.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Oh, I hate it. It blocks my airway. Like, I try and swallow, and it's just, like, really thick. It's like I'm sick with, like, a mucus overload, and it's the grossest
thing
ever.
No, that's called an allergic reaction, lady. You should go
see. No. That's how it works. No. It's just delicious mucus.
I feel
that's
so much better about every choice I've made so far this morning.
Can we just clip the whole delicious mucus thing?
Yeah, so it's gross. And so I don't really like the taste of them is fine, but I don't like that reaction. And so that goes away when you actually freeze dry it. So when you freeze dry it, it doesn't create the thick mucilaginous, like, yeah.
Okay, so are you left with basically like a Lucky Charm marshmallow?
Because no. That's how the sandwiches, the freeze dried ice cream sandwiches taste. But they taste like ice cream sandwich. They taste just like a cold ice cream sandwich, but they're like Lucky Charm marshmallows in cereal. That's the
Ew.
Consistency.
No, I'm not sold on this.
Oh, okay. You should try it. Steph, don't knock until you try it. I'll mail you some. Because I can't sell it. Because it's... You can't.
Illegal, toxic.
yeah, some kind of weird like feds are going to show up at your house for freeze drying stuff?
No, because it's a dairy.
Yeah, so you have to have a commercial kitchen to sell food like that, just so you know.
Yeah, you can do a cottage license and do basically you're just repackaging candy because it's already preserved. And so you take the label off of the candy and you put the label on your packaging, you freeze dry it and you seal it up and bada boom, bada bing, done. But when it comes to specific things like meat, dairy, poultry, all of, yeah, you can't do any of that, but I can mail a friend some, so.
So Courtney, I just want to get this right. So you're prepped for anarchy in this country, but you get Skittles trauma?
Yes. Well, we all have our weaknesses, you know?
Bears? No. Skittles? Yes.
I'm terrified of green sour. I don't know why. I can't eat. Like Jolly Ranchers, I love the green ones, but it takes my breath away. Like root beer. Root beer. When I drink root beer, I'm like, it like steals my oxygen from my lungs.
Tell me like that. A root beer float would just like paralyze you.
I swear, yeah, it does. It makes it to where I can't like take. It just, I don't know. It's the weirdest reaction.
Well, Pastor Jello Mark, we were talking about more holy topics a little bit before you got here. Just so you know, it's not all candy and rainbows.
Taste the rainbow, Nate.
No, thank you.
Taste it now. Taste it now.
I don't really know what to do with that.
Ask Adam.
Well, I've never had root beer made from sassafras, which is where originally, that's why it's called root.
Oh, have you ever had sarsaparilla?
Yes, but it's been a very, very long time. Hold on. Let me see.
It's been so long that I can't remember the difference, if there is any, between that and root beer. But there used to be a sarsaparilla place that we used to get sarsaparilla from.
Yeah, but sassafras is what makes it, it brings out the flavoring, which it grows around here. Literally, I could go in the woods and get it. I've never had the desire to make it because I'm not a fan of root beer, but yeah, I don't know. I wonder if it would take my breath away, like the stuff that no longer contains.
You'll try it in the woods, and like someone will just find you, like killed over in the woods with like sassafras root.
Sassafras with a like bear that, next to her. You boil it and make tea with sassafras like that. You to make it into the soda pop, you have to do something special. I is what I understand. But like, if you just take the root and clean it, and then like chop it up and bowl it, it makes what they call sassafras tea.
Well, the reason, right? No, the quote root beer is when it's, you ferment it. That's what makes it bubbly, because fermented drinks like kombucha are bubbly.
Wait, is it not just with carbonated water? Like they get their carbonation from a different way? Is that what you're saying about root beer?
No, root beer, traditionally, when root beer was made, it's basically a bunch of different roots and flavorings that you ferment, and then it produces like a kombucha-like tea, and then you add your, you know, whatever other things you want to it. But that's how it was traditionally made. But then whenever they took it to market, they took out the sassafras, figured out how to get the flavoring, you know, it's just like everything. It's like bear aspirin. It was originally made from the willow tree. Well, it no longer contains the actual willow in it as an herb. It just contains the salicylic acid, which is what willow tree, the main active ingredient.
Huh. Felix, have you said anything today? Do you have anything you'd like to say about anything non-candy related?
Oh, Felix is all about the Demon Busters site.
I couldn't come off mute earlier, but when she made the comment about freeze-dried stuff tasting like bad cereal, that's exactly what it tastes like.
I don't think she thinks Lucky Charms are bad, though.
Well, I think it tastes like bad cereal. Caitlin made me try it. They had freeze-dried ice cream and freeze-dried cookie dough.
Dippin' Dots?
Is freeze dried?
Oh, Dippin' Dots are great. No. Yes, I
yeah,
love Dippin'
those
Dots.
Are good.
I
yeah,
love
that's...
Dippin' Dots. That's not when... the same. They're cool.
No,
this is like crunchy, like cereal stuff.
Yeah. It's like no. Lucky Charms. Freeze dried. It's not necessarily freeze dried. It's kept at a what is it? At ice. What's that called? Dry ice.
It's carbon dioxide frozen.
Right. Which is different than freeze drying. The freeze drying process. Look, the reason why you have a freeze dryer is because you can preserve food up to 25 years, right? So, and it doesn't change the shape, the color, because you can do the same thing with dehydration, but you're going to take like an object and you're going to dehydrate the crap out of it, which changes its look. Like if I were to take a leaf, I could freeze dry it and it looks identical to the day I freeze dried it. You just reconstitute it with water. So lots of stuff that you're probably familiar with that's freeze dried. The little baby yogurts. You know, that you give your infants in the baby section, the yogurt drops, those are freeze-dried. It's actual yogurt that has been freeze-dried. And so you pop it in your mouth and it just kind of melts away. So it's a good first foods for babies. So yeah, Serendipity's not wrong when she was like, it's like Lucky Charms, or Steph said that, I think. Lucky Charms and like, I'm not a fan, but I have a freeze-dryer. But lots of people love it. Like Skittles, they're just crunchy. Everyone's favorite is like sour Skittles because you get a crunchy bite. Whereas like chocolate, like like a chocolate bar, Milky Way, it like makes the caramel on the inside like poof out. And it's like you're biting air, but with the Milky Way flavor. So I don't love the consistency, but lots of people do.
Well, all the great candy, like you like Skittles a lot. And then now, like anytime I like ever would try one, it's just like instantly like the sugar somehow like shoots straight to my teeth. And like I take better care of my teeth now than ever. So I don't know if I'm just getting old or whatever, like whatever.
You're getting old.
But it's like instantly I'm like, freaking hurts.
Okay, you want to know a good alternative?
Well, hang on. It makes it better though, because then, you know, Skittles got on board with the whole like, you know, actually rainbows. And like they came out with like their whole like rainbow campaign, like not just Skittles, but like LGBT Skittles campaign. So I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I don't need to support them anyways. So it solved itself. But yes, what's an alternative, I guess?
Skittles flavored gummies are the best.
Oh boy.
Hey, can you
guys
hear me?
We're done here. Yes, Felix, what's up? We hear you now. We did it before.
I got a question that has nothing to do with Skittles, freeze.
Thank you.
So I want to know what are deja vus, man? Like, how do you explain those?
I'm going to start off by saying demons. Someone else want to take it? I'm just kidding.
Oh, my goodness.
Deja vu is just like your body's recognizing a past experience that it's as if
perceived.
You... Yeah.
Perceived past experience.
Yeah, a perceived... Well, no, just like... So... You're intimately connected with the world around you via your senses, which I think is, you know, what you're, so you walk by something and you happen to look up at this billboard, and this billboard looks like a billboard that you might have seen when you were a child, and yet you're not remembering that, and all of a sudden you have deja vu, like you've been here before. It's just the circumstances around you are similar to a previous circumstance.
Well, I've had it more from the perspective of dreaming something and then it happening, and me being aware that it's like happening. So I've had it from that perspective, and I think that's what a lot of people are referring to as well.
Is that deja vu though? I mean, I don't know if that's deja vu.
Like if I went up to the pool right now, like for example, if I went up to the pool and, you know, I took a bag and put it down in a certain way. And like, you know, set in a chair a certain way, like, you know, got my towel, put it behind, clipped it, like, you know, in a certain kind of way. And then I turned around and there's like someone right there, like, you know, a person I know. I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? Like, and I do that. And then there's like some weird, like just sense. It's kind of like a wow, wow, like just kind of like this weird thing. And it's like, oh, my gosh. Like, this exactly has happened. Like, I remember a time before where I came here and put this bag down, put the chair on the clip. Got in the chair and then immediately turned around and there was that person. And I said, hey, what's up? In that exact way, like this exact thing has happened before. It's that feeling.
It's just a very surreal thing. You know, it's weird. It's really weird.
Or it's when they're resetting the matrix, just like
correct.
Prophet Neo said.
Make this correct.
Or like if Pastor Mark down there is like, hey, Nate, let's go to Taco Tuesday tomorrow. I'm like, whoa, I was in Clubhouse before. I know this, even if I wasn't. Like, I was in Clubhouse before, and Pastor Mark said that same thing, exactly the same way, while I was playing Fortnite. And, you know, I was jumping off a building like I am right now. Ooh, I have a serious topic that someone, if you want to be helpful, could be helpful on.
Let's go back to the Demon Busters thing. We never even finished that last week.
Okay, not serious. No, we did. You left. Oh, you left for the best part, Chris. I told you. Yeah, we came back to the demon thing. Oh, yeah, it was when I tried to get you to call, but we found someone else to do it. Yeah, there's a whole lot more stuff uncovered. You should just watch the last 30 minutes of a replay if you care. But, yeah, we explored the demon thing a lot. Right, Steph, or is there more?
She's on the phone, but yes, there was. Yeah, we did.
I mean, we got the spirit of squid or octopi. I think they said squid of octopus, so you know they're wrong because octopi is a plural. But octopuses or whatever they said. But it's like it attaches to your spine, and it has eight arms and octopi. Eight. Because one spine, eight arms, reasons. Anyway, so some of its tentacles like go down into your legs after attaching to your spine, and then the rest like shoot up and attach to your nerve. So I'm not an expert, but that's like five, maybe six, if you count the spine as one. So it's the spirit of octopus, but there is like two tentacles left over. So they didn't explain what happens with the extra two or three, depending how you're counting.
Have you ever seen anime, Jason? There, Nate?
Where are you going with this?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I have, yes.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, so, no, I hate anime. Anyway, you know what's really funny is all of my nieces and nephews, like, except for my son, well, he's not a niece or nephew, but all my nieces and nephews speak Japanese fluently, and every single one of them hates Japanese? Anime. They're already Japanese, but, like, they...
The song, all... bro, the song.
No, I know. They're not turning Japanese. They're already they're half Japanese.
I thought they were Korean. And,
no, well...
You know, it's different four places,
of them are,
right, Chris?
Four of them are Korean, three of them are Japanese, so yes. But the Korean sister-in-law grew up in Japan. So she's Korean, but her first language is Japanese, her second language is Korean. Her third language is English.
Someone wants to know, does God confusing speak... Enough? Well, I'm trying to read this text too. Someone wants to know if God speaks to us via dreams. So it would be more can this case move Chris off his absolutely not stance. I don't know where this is quoted, but presumably somewhere in the Bible. But I tell you, in this you are not right, for God is greater than a mortal. Why do you complain to him that he responds to no one's words? For God does speak, now one way, now another. Though no one perceives it, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they slumber in their beds, he may speak in their ears and terrify them with warnings to turn them from wrongdoing and keep them from pride, to preserve them from the pit, their lives from perishing by the sword. Job
sounds like a psalm.
It's a Job.
Oh, Job 33. Gotcha.
So does God then speak to us?
I got a quick question, Nate. Where are you getting these questions from?
Well, I would love to tell, but the mysterious person sends them to me not in Clubhouse for some reason, because I'm going to be all mysterious. So I am trying to keep their confidence.
No, that's fine. But like, where are you getting it? Like, are you running live on Discord?
He's getting text messages. Or he could be getting them from Discord. They're probably text messages from his friends.
Oh
yes,
my God, Nate.
What?
Are you running on Discord? Is this also streaming on Discord, YouTube, whatever?
Oh, no, right now we're just on Clubhouse. But people use Discord a lot as one avenue, because ever since Clubhouse took away like the back channel or whatever, like I post, are you not on Discord? Like I posted the link up here.
I'm literally not on Discord. Everybody keeps trying to get me on Discord, and I'm like, that is just another thing that I have to sign up for, and that's
stay strong, Courtney. Stay strong.
I think you can do a single sign on. So like, if you have,
it's just the only way.
Yeah,
it's just the only way to do like back channel.
What is this back channel? I literally
hold on, people. I will answer all of your questions. I will make all of your dreams come true. Just I need 30 seconds. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hold you to a high standard here, Nate. Go ahead.
Okay, times three. Okay, so Discord, if you go there, you should be able to just like click and it'll say log on with Google. So just click that button, you're already in. You can do a single sign on. And also, back channel used to be like, I don't know, probably 8 months ago or more at this point, how Clubhouse, before they decided they just want to be awful to us, they had this ability how you'll do voice recordings now and like send them to like people in voice chats. It was just like a chat bar. So you could like click on someone and click send them a message, and you could send a text message like behind the scenes, just like DMs basically. And you could include groups and all that stuff. So like we had Ask a Christian chats, so multiple people could like, you know, talk behind the scenes and send messages when the room wasn't on. Anyway, they took all that away. So I have an Ask a Christian server on Discord, and now a lot of people will use that because we can't just communicate. So if it's someone that they don't want people seeing like everyone in chat, so they'll just like send a message, or they'll have like a Christian chat with people over on the Discord server, and they'll be able to do their behind the scenes text message that way. All right, your questions have been answered.
It's where Dippity got all of her thirsty messages all the time.
So why should I get Discord? Like, everybody's like, get Discord. I'm like, why?
Well, for one, this like the reason I started a server there is because this Ask a Christian room got banned once upon a time, probably a year ago now, when it was kind of like Steph
talking about mental health, right, Nate?
Yes, when people were fighting about mental health, and there was a guy here who was a moderator, and anyway, so he was very much like, if you have any mental health issue whatsoever, just say, I don't have that issue, and pray, and you will not have that issue. And of course, everyone is like, whoa, bro, whoa. He's like, they're like, what if you're this? What if you're that? What if you're addicted to heroin? He's like, no, just stop being addicted. And we're like, what? He's like, just stop it. Anyway, so obviously everyone was challenging him. Well, anyway, some like sniveling atheist who has quite a following and a merry band of whatever got all of his people to like mass report the room over that. And they were crying like they were so offended and hurt that there was some guy who was saying like mental illness isn't real and you can just decide to stop being addicted. Even though every single person, including me, was challenging him, that hurt their feels, or more likely they just saw it as a chance to get rid of a Christian room. And the ridiculous people at Clubhouse, without investigating at all, the next day I'm just like, all right, let's start a room. Boom, gone. It was disappeared. So it got mass reported by like him and like 200 of his loser people. And yeah, so it went away. Anyway, so the point is, I immediately got a group on Gab. If you're not familiar with that, gab.com, it's basically no one's going to censor anything there at all ever. So I got that for like an extreme backup. But then as a intermediate backup, I got a Discord server. So the whole point for me is if this room gets banned again and people are on the Discord server, then they can at least like stay connected to, you know, people we see here and talk to every day.
Gotcha. All right. Well, because Andrew keeps trying to get me to get Discord.
Don't do it.
Well, what? What are you talking about?
Well,
not Andrew's server. Andrew's server is a
Andrew's server. I can't speak to that. I thought you meant in general.
Why?
Andrew's server is a dumpster fire full of porn. And so, like, all the atheists think it's hilarious to, like, post all the worst possible imaginable porn into Andrew's server. And he just is like, oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, that was
because
one thing.
Because he's Andrew.
Yeah, that was one thing. Because, you know, it's the trope, right? And I guess if you don't consider, like, porn, like, a moral issue because you're a godless demon, then they can still say, oh, see how much more moral I am than Christians, blah, 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 who think kissing's bad, or I don't know, whatever they say. But then you go to these, like, I tried to go to some of these, like, atheist-ran Discord servers. I don't know about Andrew's, but it's atheist-ran Discord servers. And it was all people fighting about religion. But then there's all these, like, not-safe-for-work rooms. I'm like, what kind of not-safe-for-work do you have in a religious discussion? And it was all, like, grotesque porn. I'm like, oh, come on, people. So, like, immediately, like, left all those. So, yeah, I just have, like, mine and, like, one other one. But anyways, the one that does not have porn is pinned there at the top. So if anyone would like to join the Ask a Christian Discord server so you can find us if we ever get banned, and the way this is going may happen sooner than later, just click on that and join up.
Hey, Nate, do you want to give the 90-second version of a dream again? Because I'm at ChatGPT queued up.
Okay, hang on. We've got some things to address. Hang on. So, Courtney, out of all the people who have tried to get you on Discord, go ahead and click that one so we can claim the victory. Let's see.
Yeah, that just seems like extra work for me.
But it's
Look,
not.
I'm 37,000 words into my book, and I've been 37,000 words into my book for like 6 months. I don't even need to be here right now. I need to, what am I doing with my life? I don't need to be here. And I certainly don't need to be at Discord and then spend the time that it's going to take to try and figure it out. It's just extra work for me.
Well, okay. Well, if you can't ever find us and we're gone, you know.
I will pray for you guys. I will pray that we run into each other in the woods.
In heaven. Oh my gosh, that is the lamest thing ever. Different note. And the guy still wants his Discord question or his question answered about does God speak to us through dreams, because it really seems that way. But I was just thinking, I'll see you in heaven. That's like the lamest excuse. That's like the opposite of like a guy who's like, God told me you're going to be my wife. And everyone's like, oh, that's so lame. Don't do that. It's like a girl once broke up with me and she's like, it's okay. I'll see you in heaven. I'm like, oh, that's so lame. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you in heaven too if you somehow get there. But, oh, that's so lame. Just say you hate me and it's over. Like, I'll see you in heaven. It's like, ugh. Okay, I've clearly got some trauma issues going on.
Man, all right,
before
we should probably look into some of these things. Don't you call me after the room today and I'll lay down on the couch and you can tell me all about your girlfriend issues.
I mean, it was like 30 years ago.
I know. Anyway. Apparently it's some deep trauma.
That's why he's offering his services, Nate.
I just have a decent memory.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, Chris. Yes,
I do think God speaks to people in their dreams.
Great. All right. Chris.
Yes.
What do you think about the... Oh, you do? I thought you were very much God does not speak.
No, he said yes, as in, hi, my name is Chris.
Wait, what?
You do, you do, or you do not think God
does
speaks?
Does God speak in dreams?
No.
Like he said yes. Oh.
See?
Told you. Oh, he was not saying, anymore. Oh, yes, like when I called on him. Oh, okay, so back in Job he did, but you don't think he does now.
Sure, not anymore, no.
Okay. There's your question. There's your answer. I don't have a problem with it because, you know, I do what I do. I hedge. But I also don't think it's bad, right? So to say that God never, like, you know, gives someone a little thing. Well, Chris, I think the main difference is whenever you think, like, if someone tells you God speaks to you, like, impresses on your heart or in a dream at all, then it must be, like, on level with Scripture and written down.
Correct.
I'm not that heavy-handed. So I think, you know, this Holy Spirit can lead or nudge or, I don't know, maybe do something that would be like, oh, should I turn left or right at this intersection? I don't know, because maybe there's a homeless guy down the road he wants you to give a Bible verse to. I think
just
that's totally
providence. He doesn't have to speak to you to do that.
Well, I mean, I use speak as, well, like I just said, like, you know, imprint, impress, like feel, guide, not like, Nate, go here. But I also wouldn't think that that is like something scriptural that needs to be written down for the end of time. Like I think it's
there's fine. This excellent book called God Doesn't Whisper. And it goes along with the other book I just got called God Doesn't Try. So those two go hand in hand. And Truth or Territory, going back to the Demon Busters thing. So I actually got Sean to read Truth or Territory and he vehemently disagrees with it, but he can't really tell me why he disagrees. So I don't know. We're supposed to have a talk about that. But, like, yeah, the whole Demon Busters thing. I mean, it goes it goes hand in hand, right? Divine revelation.
What's the name of this book, Chris?
Which one?
The one you said you just had Sean read.
Truth or Territory. It's by a guy named Jim Osman.
Truthatory.
Right. So that would be a really... You know what, CEO? That would be a good author to get. He's the up-and-coming author that's going to become very popular.
CEO, are you a Christian?
Yes, I'm a Christian.
Okay, I thought so, but for some reason, I thought Nate said the other day, like, that you're agnostic or something.
What? What are you doing to me? I never said that.
No, I wasn't sure. I was like, then he's, like, really Christian agnostic, because, like, I've always caught the vibe that he was Christian.
I think Nate was saying I was Trump agnostic.
Oh, I just heard agnostic. Okay, so
that might.
No, really, because I
don't think I ever said CEO and agnostic in the same sentence. Man, you give me a hard time over my bear meme. You give me a hard time over CEO. What have
no,
I done
no,
to you?
I just, I don't, I started to ask then, but there was so many, there wasn't any time for me to cut in. So I was like, I'm going to ask him now while he's here. So.
CEO, what flavor of Christianity would you most closely associate yourself with? That is something I've often wondered.
You got to ask me some really more specific questions because I go to a non-denominational church and I try to just be.
That's probably good enough.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good.
I like Felix's Baptist-costal because you know I grew up Pentecostal. I still believe a lot of that way, but also. I definitely am not expressive. I'm not like, you know, yelling, hollering, running around person. You know, like I find myself fitting in quite well in a Baptist church. So I'm like the Baptist-costal.
Did you find a new church yet that's not demonic?
Oh my God.
I'm not going to say this one's demonic. There's no spirit of squid. If Pastor Mark could just pick his church up and move it about, well, X amount of miles closer. The church I was like playing some music at. That's a good one. I think that's a pretty solid one.
So my daughter asked me. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say quickly. So, Chris, I was able to figure out when I was at church last week that our pastor is indeed a Calvinist based on the sermon that he gave.
What's the sermon he gave? God hates you?
No, he just said a series of things, and I don't think, like, we don't really talk about the whole Calvinism thing in the church, but based on the series of things he said in a row, I was like, oh, he's Calvinist. And I'd been there for 20 years. I didn't realize it.
Dude. So proud daddy moment in the service yesterday. Pastor was preaching on Psalm 37 verses 21 through 27. Okay. It's very specific verses. And my son started doing, like I taught him how to do living by the book exegesis where he, you know, identifies words that are the same or repeated, and he circles them. So he started doing that in the passage. And then he looks at me and he goes, Daddy. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, this passage is about election. I was like, okay. Yes. And then we reread it, and I was like, oh, snap, it is about election. Oh, and it is about perseverance of the saints. He's like, this is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, this is good exegesis, kid. Nice work.
Next proud papa moment will be when he burns his first heretic at the stake.
I mean, he's been asking me for your address, Nate, so I don't know.
CEO, I don't know if ChatGPT, if that's going to be too time consuming to get all the data from the dream into it.
I have done this before. Like, literally, if you just do 90 seconds, I can get it done. Just give a 90-second summary.
So you want me to tell you and you will tell it?
Yes. Go for it.
This is GPT-4. This is a good one. Okay. Let's see. I had a dream in one of the abandoned parts of a mall where businesses are closing. How many words per minute you got?
I'm good.
There were a couple of stores barely open. One of them was an abandoned flower shop, but they were subletting an annex of that shop to another store. Upon entering the abandoned flower store and walking into the annex, I realized the other store was a small shop selling satanic books. It was a satanic bookstore. I left the store. Weeks later, I went back to the mall, went through the entrance, and instead of the abandoned flower shop, it was now a heavy Christian rock Bible bookstore selling Bibles and blaring Christian rock music. I walked into it and went to the annex that had previously been the satanic bookstore. And there were just a few books left, and it looked like it was abandoned and being cleared out and closed. I then walked outside and saw the proprietor of the Satanic Bookstore. And I asked him what he was doing, and he said he couldn't survive with a Christian shop there. And then, under his hood, I realized it was a figure out I'm a Christian and this guy is an atheist, if that's relevant information for it. So I realized this was someone I recognized from a religious discussion where he is an atheist and I'm a Christian. And then he said he had to go and started walking to the exit. And my cousin shows up and it is revealed they are dating and they left into the parking lot. Dream end and scene.
All right, cool. So give me 20 seconds because I just have to add some context and then I'll get it. So go ahead.
Wow.
Wait, are you typing all of that out to you?
Yes.
Wow.
Like what's a boss.
What's your words per minute?
I don't know exactly, but I was the fastest typer in high school.
Courtney, are you typing your book?
I am.
Do it by do speech to text. That helps a world. There's this thing. Oh,
I do that on Google Docs.
So you do use speech to text?
What? No, I don't. Like I'm five. Okay, I'm not tech savvy.
Wait, you said Google Docs. Were you asking or telling?
I use Google Docs to.
Oh, write. Yes, you can do it. Yes, so you can do it. I'll have to get it for you later. See, this is what Discord would be useful for. Okay. I'll have to get the actual add-on, but it's basically an add-on that you can get free from like the Google browser, the Google Chrome browser. I'll have to get the name, but it's great. Like I use it and it basically works with almost every app you can use inside Google Chrome, including Google Docs. So yeah, you could just talk to it and say, you know, and there I was, standing on the cliff, period. And you could just talk to it just like you would write. And it does an amazing job, and you can get so much more done. And I think the product is better because it's more intuitive, like you're really talking, rather than you just trying to, like, type something. So anyways, check that out.
Yeah, I think whatever algorithm or whatever software that Clubhouse uses in the back chat, it does a really good job. It picks up on voice inflection. It knows whenever you're...
sleeping knows when you're away. Sorry.
It knows whenever you're, like, make...
Bad or good?
Okay, I'm struggling as is. I don't need you to make it worse. It knows if you're having a conversation with a person and then you reference back to a previous conversation and that previous conversation needs to be in quotes, it does that. And so, like, if you were to say, yeah, Nate, remember, I'm backchatting you. Nate, you remember that time that you and I were talking and then we said, Happy Mother's Day? You know, it will literally put the Happy Mother's Day in quotes. So I'd like to know whatever program they're using because I think it does a pretty good job. And it picks up on Hebrew. It transliterates Hebrew, I think, fairly well, and possibly other languages, I would think. Certainly Spanish and things. So, I like that. So if Google is good enough or close enough to that, then, yeah, it'll work. But my only thing is I then have to find an editor. But I don't want someone that's biased. I don't want a biased Christian, but I also don't want someone that doesn't have any stake in the game. And the reason why is because obviously if they're editing, they need to be able to give me input on the best way to keep the idea and formulate it properly. So if anybody knows of an editor that would be good for like a messianic Christian book, let me know.
Send it my way.
I'll help you out.
I was going to say.
Sure, you will. You will literally draw a big fat black highlighter all the way through the whole book. And say, be reformed.
I mean,
Nate, your interpretation is ready.
Oh, your dream interpretation is ready. Your AI dream interpretation. This is going to be great. See, we don't even need modern day prophets. We have ChatGPT.
All right, so let's start with the premise that scientifically, dreams are a subconscious communicating something, right? So I think that's just a scientific fact. And then obviously it's debatable, the spiritual element of it, right? Okay, so abandoned mall and flower shop. An abandoned mall or store in a dream could symbolize areas of one's life that feel neglected or underused. It could represent lost opportunities or forgotten aspirations. So flower shop typically...
Like
But flower shop, typically a symbol of growth and beauty, being abandoned might suggest a loss or decline of something once beautiful or full of life in the dreamer's life. Transition from satanic to Christian bookstore. This shift from a satanic bookstore to a Christian rock Bible store might represent a spiritual battle or transformation. The initial presence of a satanic bookstore could symbolize the influence or temptation of negative or evil forces. The replacement with a Christian bookstore could reflect a victory or turning point towards embracing faith or Christian values. The fact that the Christian bookstore could not survive might suggest challenges or difficulties in maintaining faith or spiritual commitments in the face of adversity. Michael the Atheist and the Cousin. The presence of Michael and the Atheist, the dreamer speaks to regularly in a Christian context, and his sudden romantic connection with the dreamer's cousin could symbolize unexpected or confusing relationships or alliances in the dreamer's life. It might also represent the dreamer's concern or thoughts about the influences these relationships have on his cousin's or his cousin's belief or life choices. Lastly, personal reflection and spiritual guidance. The transformation seen in the dream coupled with the personal connections invites reflection on one's own spiritual journey, the influences around them, and how these align with her values and beliefs. The end.
I do not like that. It didn't mention the abandoned flower shop, and it flipped satanic and Christian. So it said that the Christian bookstore couldn't survive. It was the satanic one that couldn't survive. So it flipped those over, and it didn't mean, and it didn't mention the flower shop.
I think it's maybe because CEO just didn't maybe type it in the proper order. I don't know. It did mention the flower shop. It said that flowers, in light of like growth and, you know, happiness, positive, etc.
Yeah, it said the flower shop typically a symbol of growth and beauty. Being abandoned might suggest a loss or decline of something once beautiful or full or in the dreamer's lives.
Okay, but it did flip the Christian and Satan thing.
I corrected it, so I'll just read that one part. Struggle and closure of satanic bookstore. The closure of a satanic bookstore can be seen as a metaphor for the decline or the defeat of negative forces, temptations, or harmful beliefs in the dreamer's life. This can be interpreted as an encouraging sign that good is prevailing over evil, or that the dreamer's faith and chosen spiritual path are protecting them from harmful influences.
Okay, here's the lesson of the day. Okay, so, and by the way, someone asked me, another pitch for Discord, just saying, people, what my actual view on dreams, hang on, let me make sure I get it right. Where do I get back to it? Hold on, give me a minute. Okay, yeah, they asked me what my own view on dreams was. I would say, first of all, I believe it's possible, just like Job. I don't necessarily think it stopped. I don't think that every time you have a dream, it is from God either. I think, you know, to say never would be short-sighted, and to say always would be dangerous. But also, I think, you know, just like the Bible says, take everything, listen to everything, and test what's good. You test everything and hold on to what's good. So if I can find some wisdom in a dream or something that I can have spiritual application, even if it's not from God, if there's something I can find spiritual significant, like, I don't know, turn that frown upside down, you know, think on what is good and, you know, like relate it back to a Bible verse and like get some sort of spiritual, you know, goodness out of it, then great. That's a win all around. It keeps me focusing on the Bible verse I'm thinking of or meditate on the word, that. But also, even though this is like ChatGPT generated, this would have been like any $10 Cash App profit on here that someone paid for a dream interpretation. They would have come up with something very similar to this. So my overall thought, if someone like, you know, I shared this dream being like, I mean, first of all, I wouldn't do it looking for interpretation. That's ridiculous. They're not Daniel. But if I would have just like shared this dream like I did here and someone's like messages me, let's say afterwards, and they're like, Brother Nate, I have the interpretation for you. This is from God. He told me you need to know this. I'd be like, okay, what'd he say? What is it? And then they would tell me, let's just say it went something like this. And I'd be like, okay, well, thank you for that. Have a blessed day. And then I probably wouldn't give it two more thoughts. Because I don't believe that is how it works at all. I don't think there's anything like that at all. Like if God wants to kind of nudge you and make you, you know, you're reminded of a Bible verse, you go look it up and there's some good spiritual insight you can get, wonderful. If someone's going to be all like, Nate, I have a word from you. This is from God. You need to listen to me. I'd be like, okay, thank you for your time. And then probably just not think about it again.
You know, what's interesting is when these people come off as like a person that can interpret dreams, and it's like fortune telling. It's like so cookie cutter basic. It's like Satan equals bad, you equal good, God is prevailing. I'm like, yo, did you not learn anything from Joseph? Man, Joseph got a dream of like three this, three that, and all of a sudden when he interprets the dream, it doesn't sound like what you would think it would be. It's like the bread represents 3 days before you're going to be unalived by the, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, that's deep stuff. But if you tell me that because I had a dream about this, you know, satanic shop that's being, you know, it can't stay in business with the Christian store next to it, like, duh. Like, the logical human mind is going to be like, good is prevailing over bad. Like, I want to know if it means like the world is going to end or something, like something you wouldn't expect. That's the difference. I think these people that do this are just able to pick up on common phrases and things. What am I? Make sense? Yeah? No?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's two parts to it. So one, a dream is one of two things typically. Either the subconscious is trying to work something out, so there is symbolism there. Or number two, maybe you just watched a Predator movie and you have a dream that the Predator is attacking you, right? So it's going to be one of those two categories typically. And then I think there are some people, like even people who present themselves as prophet, they may just be really good at reading cues, right? And they are maybe giving you some idea of what your subconscious is trying to work out. And there could be value in that, right? Like, Nate, so I just sent you the interpretation from ChatGPT.
Yeah, I saw it.
And maybe 7% of what is said in there, you might say to yourself, oh, okay, that's what my subconscious was working out. And, you know, that maybe has some value to you.
And then I think it can be dangerous, though, because we're like a, you know, humans are like a pattern-seeking people. So if someone gives you 90%, you're just like, no, this is all wrong. And then 10% that's like, oh, wow, that right. could be unique. You could be susceptible to be like, oh, my gosh, because you want it to be true, because you're like, they gave you just enough that hit markers with you, that you saw something like, oh, yeah, that could be right. And, oh, I had this, like, great dead uncle one time, and he told me this, and they're telling me this. That could be right. And even though, like, 90% of it is completely off base, just because they got a little bit that is like kind of sort of makes sense to you, now you're the next cultist member.
Yeah. I had a dream years back. I went into a bookstore and the book was, you know, normal size book. I grabbed the book and I opened the book to a random page and all of a sudden I'm sucked into the book. The book is ginormous. It's like 10 foot tall at this point. It spits me out. It spits me out onto the desert. And I'm like literally in like Sahara Desert, like woods, or I mean, nothing but miles and miles of sand mountains. And I'm looking around at these dunes and I'm like, how am I supposed to get back in? All of a sudden I hear this giant sound of thundering water. And I look over and there's this giant tsunami of water coming. And I run back to the book to jump into the portal or whatever. And I woke up right as I'm like entering the portal and the book is shutting and closing. So like, yeah. Pretty sure I'd watched a movie. Pretty sure I was like, you know, something like that. And then there was this other one where I was in the air. Like my husband and I were watching TV. I had my head on his shoulder. And we were watching this movie and it was this military. We were inside in the movie. We were inside, a military, base. And it's kind of hard to understand because I wasn't sure where the break between me watching the movie versus me being in it, like a fly on the wall. All of a sudden, it's like I'm in the movie, and I'm a fly on the wall. No one knows I'm there. And all of a sudden, it's like the United States government said February. I can't even remember the dates. February something or another, like 24th or something. I don't know. I don't know what day. It doesn't make sense because of the, yeah, it just doesn't. But anyways, all of a sudden, hold on, I got a call.
Yeah, I mean, I had a dream last week about my son. And then, like, you know, I actually ran an interpretation scenario. And I realized that it was my subconscious working out that I was just, like, simply disappointed in his baseball coach and the advice he was giving. And, like, you know, my son's play this year. So, you know, I think there can be some value in it.
Did you know that a lot of psychologists reject the idea of a subconscious? That's left over from Freud.
I don't even know how that's possible. How can you reject that idea? That's very confusing.
Because, like, that's just really, really old stuff that was taught only by Freud, and most psychologists reject the idea of a subconscious.
Well, okay, so let's name it something else. Sometimes we have repressed feelings and thoughts that we don't allow to play out while we're awake, and so those repressed thoughts and feelings can play out while you dream. What should we call that?
How do you repress a thought?
By not allowing it to be meditated on, right? So like if someone has some sort of trauma, there's two ways to go about it. You could really go through the process of reflecting upon it and thinking about how it impacted you, or you could try to bury it and not think about it at all. And then it can end up influencing your behavior later without you intentionally letting it.
Right. So a lot of psychologists reject that entire paradigm and would call that a false dichotomy. I'm just telling you what psychologists would say. Like I'm like in touch with over a dozen therapists, and I would say that, and not like
I believe that
I'm not being treated by a dozen therapists. They're friends of mine because I'm doing construction for a counseling center. But like a lot of Christian counselors reject all of those paradigms.
So
and like the dichotomy that you gave, they would completely reject.
So they don't think there's a such thing as repression. You can't repress a thought.
Correct.
Okay. You can't.
How do you repress a thought
about like something as much as
the same
you
way
should.
Romans 1, people repress the knowledge of God. They shove it down so far that even they don't believe it.
No. That they replace it with something else, right? So there's so it's not that they're repressing it. Like they don't. You can't. If I say don't think about a pink elephant, it's really difficult for you not to think of the pink elephant
for maybe five seconds. And
sure,
then you
but
just,
like
yeah.
But what my point be? And again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm just saying that there is a totally different paradigm in the sciences that rejects all of those things that you should look into. Okay. There's a brand new book. Again, another book. I know you're a book guy. But there's a brand new book that is just like rocking the world, and I want to say it's Bad Therapy. Let me go look it up. I'll look it up and tell you the exact title
because it is
rocking the therapy world right now.
But let's just take the scenario of a guy and a girl have a long-term relationship. They break up. The guy doesn't reflect upon it at all and just jumps into his next relationship. The idea we're talking about here is because he didn't reflect at all, maybe some behavior or some reaction comes that otherwise wouldn't have come if he had reflected upon it more and worked through his feelings. This is, I have never heard anybody debate this idea before. This is fascinating. So
there's many times you want something or don't want something, and you really have to like search your heart of like, what's the true desire? Is this coming from a jealousy and anger affair? And like, it's
right.
All you want, but there's, if you deny that, then you're denying all self-growth.
Correct.
I don't really see an immediate dog in this fight for me, but hey, while Chris is looking up what's rocking the world of therapy, can we all talk about how we haven't talked about the world ending from solar flares? I can't believe that hasn't even been a topic in the last few years.
Technology is going down, though. Our communication
not so far.
Can get cut off.
Wait, is it?
Well, that was one of the concerns, that it would hit like satellites and like
yeah,
disrupt
but I don't
the
think
whole
it's
electromagnetic
really...
field. Well,
I
we're
know
still
Starlink
talking,
apparently was. Well, yeah, but I mean, I know Starlink said it was like running a little slower at times. But yeah, this is hardly like the cataclysmic event that people were freaking out over before the weekend.
I'm still recovering from Y2K.
Well, apparently you can see the northern lights in the southern hemisphere. So I guess that was a thing.
It was a thing. We saw them over our neighborhood.
Yeah, they said it was like at midnight. You could see over mine, but I'm like, midnight. I was in bed like 2.5 hours by then. Yeah. Even though Chris isn't speaking, it looks like he posted the link. The Abigail, whatever. I assume it's a book she wrote.
Oh, I thought I was on. I thought I was off mute. I was like, "Hey, let me just read the." Yeah, I posted. So Abigail Schreier is the author of this. Let me just read the abstract. It's only a couple sentences. In virtually every way that can be measured, Gen Z's mental health is worse than that of previous generations. Youth suicide rates are climbing. Antidepressant prescriptions for children are common, and the proliferation of mental health diagnoses has not helped the staggering number of kids who are lonely, lost, sad, and fearful of growing up. And so her whole thing is just rocking the mental health world. Richard McNally from Harvard, he's a professor of psychology, says this is essential reading for parents, teachers, and mental health professionals. All kinds of the MDs and PhDs in psychiatry. Another Harvard professor.
I knew I recognized her. Chris, I've heard her interviewed on Trigonometry. She's very good. She does not deny the subconscious. What her argument is that every normal relationship, everyone in their life goes through times of fear, times of stupidity, times of challenge. And our parents today, are turning them each one into, you need a psychiatrist. Yeah. And I mean, to bring it back to a religious statement, if someone's having an addiction or that's not a cycle. They need a pastor. They don't need a psychiatrist. So that's her issue. Her issue is that everything is becoming I'm sad because my girlfriend said something nasty to me. That you don't need to go sit through therapy and lay on the couch. But she does not deny the subconscious.
Well, she doesn't specifically, but there are quite a few psychologists that do think that the subconscious is simply a Freudian idea, and rejected
or Jungian idea. I think you're confusing the subconscious with things like the Oedipus, Freudian slip.
With the id and stuff.
Well, look, So again, I know the id, ego, and superego, all this. I took a couple of psych classes. I'm not an expert. I'm not a psychologist. I think you are a psychologist, right? Meyer?
No, I am not. I'm on a
team. Oh, okay. As a lay person, I know the psychologists that I have interacted with. These are licensed mental health counselors. And the majority of the people that I deal with deny that subconscious is even a thing.
Okay. I'll tell you where this is going with me, and it might be a little bit of a stretch. It feels like, and I'm assuming these aren't the people that you're interacting with, but when I hear that, my 2024 antennas go up. It feels like an extreme leftist arguing you can't ever change anyway, and you're just doomed to who you are, and there is no subconscious, and don't even try to
hurt yourself. No,
that's
no,
what
these
this
people
feels
all,
like.
Who what's the name of somebody who denies it, Chris? What's the name of somebody?
Somebody
who denies
a subconscious. Or a famous person.
It doesn't know. It can be. They don't have to be famous. Just some.
Well,
some
as long as
there's
a book or
something,
that
denies the
we
subconscious.
Can, understand it.
Yeah,
just
I can
name a specific one. Okay.
Yeah, this is not a subject to think about that often. I just know in passing that, there are quite a few people that think that the idea of the subconscious is simply not a thing.
Yeah, because who you quoting Schreier, I think her name is, she downplays the role of subconscious as it relates to gender identity, particularly in the context of transgender.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she is downplaying.
Are you saying Chris is trans?
Saying that Chris sometimes takes a small point and enlarges it 10x.
Right, so that's not what I'm doing with Schreier. Schreier is specific to this kind of thing, not the denial of subconscious, but just the over-therapization of our culture.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So your point is she thinks
that one person who denies
the
subconscious.
She thinks. So your whole point is you're saying this person thinks that even though she is a therapist, people are calling therapists for things that they should not be calling them for because it's just everyone is over-therapized.
Yes.
And she's like crippled. She thinks that the generation is being crippled by making everything into a name and you had a bad day. So you must be.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I mean, okay. So that's kind of remember the stigma of the old West or, a man's a man, traditional man. It's they would take all their feelings. If you tried to be a man and talk about feelings, you get mocked and ridiculed and probably beat up. It's take those feelings and just shove them as far down as you can. And it would make everyone in therapy today go like, no, you have to talk about your feelings. But on the other hand, the people who did that when it was the time to do that was like, you know, that was the thing. Society wasn't burning. Like, things functioned. Things worked. So you could say maybe they took one for the team and just ignored talking about their feelings and self and shoved that down, or, you know, left it for the ladies or whatever. But I think as a world, we seem to be in a better place. Now, when everyone's talking about their feelings, guys are running around in chicken costumes saying they're furries. I don't know. There's got to be a happy medium somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I have consulted Google Bard, Google Gemini, Google, and ChatGPT, and it is not familiar with any references of people denying the subconscious. The closest it comes is John B. Watson and B.F. Skinner said the subconscious mind is unscientific because it couldn't be directly measured. That's the closest Correct. I can get.
Well, that's pretty darned close. And so Skinner would be the gold standard for that kind of thing. Again, a lot of this stuff is pseudoscience. Most psychology is pseudoscience. So, I mean, you're going to find that a lot of psychologists will say things like, so part of the thing about psychology is that it attempts to pathologize certain things so that they can be treated with drugs. And so it is a project to come up with new quote-unquote diseases in order to be able to prescribe drugs for things that there are absolutely no studies on to say that this drug will affect brain chemistry in one way or the other to solve a problem like ADD or PTSD, things like that. So,
like,
for instance,
conversation last week, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I just don't, I simply just don't buy into the Freudian idea of the unconscious mind because it cannot be demonstrated. You cannot demonstrate it scientifically. And so the idea that, you know, we have to believe this thing because we have the infallible, inerrant Freud to tell us this is a thing.
Scientific knowledge of it from implicit association tests, priming studies, neuroimaging, psychodynamic therapy, and sleep research.
Yeah, don't care.
One second.
Okay.
I'm a scientific anti-realist. Like, I just don't care. You can throw all the science at me you want.
Well, hang on.
Literally, I'm going to deny all
of it. Wait. Oh, my God, people. Like, we got a new person. It happens so rare. I want to, like, at least acknowledge them. I think Edie wanted to say something or had a question.
Yeah, I think to Chris's point, there is, I mean, the old ideas of psychotherapy
Edie, you're chopping out. We can't really hear you. Go ahead, Mir. Right. Yeah, see if you get a better bar.
This is like, I think, exactly what CEO was saying, Chris.
I'm back because this is spotty here.
Are you trying to speak or are you waiting for a better signal?
I'm going to wait.
Yeah, so psychology is not pseudoscience, but it is a soft science. And there's definitely a lot of things thrown in there that are unscientific and guessed and not falsifiable. So, like, if someone will walk into a therapist and say, well, I'm afraid of cats, they'll say, oh, because you had a bad mother. They're like, no, actually, I had a great mother. Says, oh, because you had a great mother. So, like, there are definitely problems in the field. And Abigail Schreier is bringing up some pretty good, like, strong ones that I haven't read her book yet, but based on her interview, I'd like to read her book. But to say there's no subconscious at all, that is definitely objectively observable even within yourself. Like, you can, if you reflect on things you do, you'll find foolish reasons. I mean, you could even read a book that's as scientific as Thinking Fast, Thinking Slow, who explains how irrational we are sometimes, unfortunately. But there's definitely, like, different parts of the, like, even intuition is the part of the brain that's going faster than you're consciously thinking through the steps. But when you, like a good hunter, will hear a sound and know what it is, that's a level.
Well, that's not subconscious.
It is.
So again, the idea of subconscious
going
also
through the steps.
So
it's your subconscious doing it.
Right. So the subconscious also gets into a spiritual realm and all kinds.
Thus
of
also
things.
The Admiral de Coligny imposed respect on his assassins and could only be dispatched by a madman who fell upon him with averted face.
Well, that's probably not the best way to jump into a conversation.
He's a troll. He's a constant troll.
Right. Oh, well. Yeah, yes. I'm not arguing with you. I mean, like, look, man, you know, I'm just saying that the subconscious is not scientifically measurable. And, you know, also, by the way, I am a scientific anti-realist. And so I think that, you know, when people are like, oh, I believe in evolution for the following reasons, yada, yada, yada. And then I'm like, yeah, so I can look at the same evidence and just apply my worldview to it. And it says a totally different thing. So when I apply the biblical worldview to the psychological worldview, to the secular psychological worldview, that there's two different things going on there. So if there's presuppositions.
Well, can I just respond really quickly? So Chris, I think that like if your argument is that the way Sigmund Freud describes the subconscious is not completely accurate, fine. I don't think there's an issue with that. And if you're saying even that the way the subconscious is treated by psychologists, you have issues with it, like Mir said, okay. But this idea of denying the concept of it broadly seems really strange. I mean, like, here's a really practical example of it, and I'm going to purposely structure it in a way to not be as controversial.
Okay.
They did a test of black police officers and determining whether, you know, they would shoot in this test like unarmed people or armed people. And the black police officers were more likely to shoot unarmed black people. So
yeah, that's a study that's already been widely debunked called unconscious bias. And so I can tell you a lot of stuff that study was complete nonsense. And if you go back and you do some more research on that study, the unconscious biases were completely manipulated and the stats completely manipulated. And most psychology these days, look, I tutored statistics in college. I would tutor undergrads in statistics. I would say that most psychology, and they show this in the, what is that website that goes through and checks the stats for scientific research, and something like 60 or 70%, I can't remember the exact number, it changes all the time, of peer-reviewed journal papers have nonsense for their stats. And okay, so I would just say anything that's psychology, I just am not going to believe it. I have to say, I have three more sentences to say. It's really quick. The only way you're going to be able to persuade me to this idea is going to be to show me biblically where those ideas come from. Other than that, I'm going to ignore every shred of scientific evidence that you bring me.
Okay, I'll show it to you biblically. The entire book of Proverbs, like Ecclesiastes, are telling us things about ourselves that are non-intuitive, and they're basically saying that if you search your heart and you review your real subconscious, and you can call that whatever you want, but that means that there are things that are driving us, either good or mostly evil, that if we don't actually dig through and understand it, and that's what Solomon was coming to tell us. And you can just go proverb after proverb of what he's telling us, things about ourselves, that is disgusting the subconscious.
Sure, and yeah,
I would go line by line through that, do exegesis, and I would prove you wrong.
Okay, so here we go, Chris. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 139:23-24.
The whole story with David and Nathan didn't come to him and just say straight out, what you did was wrong, and he gave him a parable and showed him how you would judge someone else differently. That was him saying subconsciously what you did to Uriel was wrong. I mean, you have every excuse in the book, but that's part of subconscious.
And my apologies, I have a simpler one. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate.
Yeah, none of that describes the subconscious in any way.
Not even remotely close.
Edie, but,
I wanted to get Edie.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, to Chris's point, I mean, a lot of psychotherapy is not really seen as valid these days anymore. Because number one, how do you quantify behavior? That's the problem. Even contemporary studies, psychology, I'll look at them, you know, and they're guessing as to what caused this, you know, and how do you come up with all the variables that might have come into play? Now, I think maybe to say there's no subconscious, a little extreme. I mean, there's studies where I saw a study where a guy who was legally blind, was looking at images of people smiling, and he started smiling. Obviously, even though he couldn't say, I see a face smiling, there was parts of the brain recognizing that the face doing that. So that's part of the subconscious. He's reacting to things that aren't on a conscious level. He's not saying, I see that person smiling. But yes, I think a lot of psychology based on the idea of subconscious and, oh, let's go talk about your childhood. That's not really seen as good therapy anymore, because like I said, how do you study that? How do you quantify that? How do you do that? How do you take an experiment and say, this is valid, this is why this is working? So maybe Chris is being a little extreme, but yes, I think that a lot of this stuff that they used to say was because of things that happened when we were a kid and subconscious probably aren't looked at as necessarily valid or any scientific reason to believe that this is why this works the way it does.
And I know Rody had something real fast, and then I'm going to have to run in just a little bit. I have some stuff to do today. What's up, Rody?
No, I'm good. I just wanted to ask Daddy what his motivations, like what motivates him to be an anti-realist, a scientific anti-realist.
Go ahead and answer if you want. Word I won't say.
Yeah, Daddy.
Okay.
He's on the phone.
He's on the phone.
Oh.
No, he's not.
He
refreshed the page.
No.
His phone icon.
It says that he's on the phone.
Yeah, he has the phone icon up until you refresh.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Oh, it still has that? Because I refreshed and it's okay.
Yeah, it goes away from me.
I think
too,
it might be glitchy. Yeah, it might be glitchy for me. Okay.
Well, let's analyze Chris. Why does everyone think he is that way?
You see, you can't trust your eyes, Rody. You saw the icon, it wasn't there. You should be an anti-realist too.
Well, that's... Yeah, like a lot of different flavors of anti-realism as well. Sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, no, I just said I think he wants to be a renegade. And also, if he came back, I was going to ask him to define the subconscious, because I think one of the things Chris does from like his arguments is he defines things in his own way and then only argues from that perspective. So I think like one of the things we have to do going forward is get him to state his definition before we engage, and I should have did that way before, because if I'm arguing from a different definition, then the whole conversation's just cyclical.
Courtney, do you have an iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Okay, I think this is like the difference, because on Android you have like much more glitches on this app.
Yeah, don't tell them that though, because you'll never hear the end of it.
Oh.
I see. Wait, Nate, you also have an iPhone?
What's that? I have an Android.
No, that doesn't explain that then. Never mind.
No, because you said you have an Android and it glitches. I have an Android and it also glitches.
I'm talking specifically on this app. It annoys me.
On the app, he's asking really annoys. The glitch for the icon, the phone showing. Is that a glitch for you, Nate?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like on an Android, it doesn't show. Like it shows Chris is not on the phone right now, and that's why every time I ask, I'm like, "Hey, where are you? Where are you?" And everyone's like, "They're on the phone."
Oh, okay.
So Clubhouse works better on iPhone. I will concede that.
So you have the same problem. Okay, I see.
Yes. CEO, you have an admirer who says they agree with you and they think you're right in your Chris analysis.
I don't know who you are, but I know you're in this room who keeps sending him text messages. I'm going to find you.
Well, great way to start your investigation.
Was that a threat, Courtney? Good grief.
No, it's crazy. Why won't they put it in the chat? Like,
I think they fear the repercussions of the great and powerful Chris.
Oh my gosh. Chris is a... I'll wait till he comes
a
back.
A difficult person.
If Chris was a bear, would he be a brown bear?
No, he'd be a koala.
Wait, disease riddle?
Do you think he's cute? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I'm married. I'm trolling at the moment. I'm just like, because I was like, Nate, where are you getting these questions from? Because I don't, every time he says, got another question, I go to the chat and I see no questions. And then he's like, no, it's from someone, you know, back chatting me or like someone sending me in the text message. And I'm like, oh, so they're here. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm going to find you. I enjoy a good challenge.
You can investigate starting on Discord. Just saying.
No, there's no. I get it. But like, do I really want to be more connected with some folks?
I mean, you know, it's your life. You do you. I don't care one way or another. I mean.
Well, that's not very Christian-like of you. You should care.
If you're more connected? If you have more electronic stuff coming into your house?
With Christians, Nate. With Christians.
Oh, okay, so let's try this. I care. Click on the link at the top.
Okay, you win this one. You win. I don't
the
want
the argument, or you're clicking.
You win. No, yeah, the argument. I'm definitely not clicking, but I get your point. I concede.
Okay, everyone. I have to run today. My child has a dentist appointment. Yay!
Again?
We just got one. No, that was the other one. The other one we just got in braces. Now we have to go deal with this other one. There's so many. We all should have been dentists.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's probably legit. You should have a lawyer, a mechanic, a doctor, maybe a dentist.
And not the dentists that fix things, because they probably don't make as much money. But like the dentist. That's gonna sound bad. But like, you know, the orthodontist or whatever, that like they just do cosmetics, right? Not the dentists that actually fix serious painful issues, but the ones that just make things pretty. Those guys.
So Courtney, we call that a village, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be nice? Hey, you do have a question, and it's actually in the Clubhouse chat.
So, oh, like, okay. Let's see.
Before you go,
what's the question?
Well, he's asking. Could he ask?
Oh, Christian questions? Question?
Yeah, Jeff, come up.
Stage?
No, Jeff.
No, he's playing around.
Jeff is trolling. Don't.
Oh. Yeah. See, half the time I don't know who is who and what's what.
Jeff, what would our answer all the Christian questions?
What would our positions be in a village? Like somewhere between, like Courtney and Steph would have to fight between being like the medicine women or something.
Oh, are you an herbalist?
No, that's Courtney. Courtney can have it.
Oh, wait, you would be the tailor, right? You'd be the clothier with our garments would be made of rabbit wool, Steph.
I don't know. In a post-apocalyptic village, I have no idea what my role would be. It might be just like complaining, you know?
What would mine be? What would my role be?
You would absolutely become the dictator in about 5 seconds.
You guys would allow that, I would.
Using him with Chris.
It would be a kind of benevolent dictator.
I feel like Chris would try to be the dictator, and then there would be a mass revolt, and he would get overthrown. But yeah. Nate is very reasonable, so his tyrannical tendencies are a little more undercover. So I feel like that it would take a longer time for the mutiny to happen, and by then it would be too late.
And like Chris would probably want to be the schoolmaster, which everyone would fear at the curriculum he was teaching them. But on the other hand, no one wants to deal with the kids, so would probably just let Chris be the schoolmaster. I can see that.
Well, CEO, he's definitely the peacemaker, the marketer. We're definitely CEO. You are the go-to guy as the emissary to all the other little tribes because, well, you can sell it. You can say, listen, Nate's tribe they're reasonable people. Let's not go to war. You know what I mean?
I want Felix as the cook.
I'm just trying to position all of us to be under your protection, Courtney, for the apocalypse. I want to make sure you're a good Christian and you take us in.
Except we're going to have to stack up on duties because right now we're all still dying because there's no way no one's responsible for water and actually food.
Oh, I got you on that. That's me all day, every day, and twice on Sunday.
You're going to like paint yourself up and like jump through the woods and like bow and arrow?
Are we allowed to have rifles? Do we have rifles? Because I'm proficient with a bow and arrow as well. So.
Well, I'm deciding if we have electricity or not. I don't think the kind of village I don't will have electricity. And I don't know if it's modern enough that we would be able to have like solar power. I don't know if it's modern enough that we could have like solar generators.
Well, that would
take serious work to maintain. Like, how many survivors are there?
Yeah, solar power sucks. That would be more my husband's realm. But, I mean, when I say sucks, I mean it works, but it's a lot. Like, you have to have batteries, and when your batteries go out, they're expensive to replace. I mean, it'd be better just to learn to live without AC and all of that. The biggest problem, my southern self, I have to have a box fan just for the sound. They're so tacky, they're so ugly, but I have to have it just for the...
Yeah, we have that. Yeah, we do that. I can't go to sleep without... that stupid like $20 Walmart fan because while our house was getting built, we had to wait until we could get our actual ceiling fan hooked up. And during that time, we just used a box fan. So once the ceiling fan got hooked up, we barely use that. And we always still, like 3 years later, have our box fan just.
Yeah, I have those sleek, nice, you know, stand up ones that go in the corner, barely make any noise, rotating. They look like something that came out of like an IKEA magazine. Beautiful fans. Those suck. I can't stand them. They don't make any noise. I got to go buy the cheap box fans from Walmart that go and make that white noise, or else I wake up.
I got to figure it out. For punishments, for infractions in the village, that person can set on a bike, and they can run the bike, and that will be connected to, like, you know, generating power that can
run. That's a good idea.
That could be dedicated to, like, maybe a light bulb and a box fan.
That's a good idea. Who's cracking the whip? Is that going to be Chris? That's got to be Chris.
Most of the time, he'll be the one on the bike, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, Serendipity doesn't have a role. I mean, obviously, it's like she's a chinchilla farmer, but then she's going to be like, where did the chinchillas go, guys? And I'm like, don't analyze your stew too hard.
Are those kosher? I don't think that I can't eat those. So
a chinchilla?
What are they?
They're not a rodent, right? What are they?
Oh,
Serendipity,
yeah,
can we eat your animals?
You can't eat marsupial.
Marsupial.
Oh no, thank you. Oh. I can't eat that. So I'll just have the soup without the chinchilla, please.
Wait, marsupials aren't kosher?
No, you can land animals. You can only have like a split hoof and chew cud, and I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
It doesn't. So for me, I just I'm gonna do the Daniel diet. So
there are only 10 kosher mammals.
Because you want to, yeah. Not for salvation at all, right? Right.
Yeah. No. I don't do it for salvation. Facts. So there's only it's a hoofed animal. But I was like, wait a minute, is this like a made up animal? And I've heard it before, but I'm like, is this like a half? Well, I mean, I've heard it, but I can't, like, picture what it is. And my mind instantly went to, like, a...
They don't have hoofs.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. My mind instantly went to, like, some made-up animal, like, half, you know, bottom half, like a horse or something. It just seemed like that's what...
Wait, rabbits. I did have a question for this room today, but I had to take a phone call, and I forgot it until just now. What? I want to know what's up with these red heifers.
Oh.
Literally nothing.
What about it?
What do you mean?
There's so much like misinformation surrounding that. Most of it's put out by Christian networks that are not there. They're just like, oh, look, four red heifers. Heifers are still alive. Therefore, the temple's coming. Everybody repent. You know, so it's like there's no real information about the actual animals there. Previously, I asked an Orthodox friend of mine actually living in the land. He's like, we don't know much about it. We know that they're protected at a secure location, and that's about all we know.
Okay, so then I was told
like a couple weeks ago.
Well, you don't actually need them. You know that, right? Like, you don't actually need them. It's just according to Jewish law. I mean, they're mentioned in the Torah, but it's like an afterthought per se. You don't actually need them. It's more in alignment with Jewish law than anything.
Yes, Steph?
Yeah, I had heard this thing about, like, a temple that is made of prefabricated concrete because it's not hand-hewn stone, it's not cut stone, and then there's collecting of red heifers, and they only need one more, and then they're trying to bring the Messiah, and yeah, it sounds like Courtney is not concerned.
You only need one ever. So if anyone tells you they only need one more, they're already giving you false information.
What I think is more likely to happen is some type of political event around it. So it's like the Antichrist or something, right? Like how people like, well, that's a bad example.
Nate, you remember when the Jews were talking to the quote Mashiach? They're talking to the Mashiach now. You know, remember?
Like, I actually don't remember that.
What? Like a year ago?
Yeah, there's like, I'm old enough to remember the red heifer stuff from like the 70s on. Like every 4 or 5 years, it'd be like, oh, the red heifers are getting shipped over to Israel.
Yeah. It's like the Jews are talking to the Mashiach right now. They're, you know, he's here. And then it's like a year goes by and you're like, oh, I guess Mashiach is not here. Like what? It's all just fantastical claims. And, you know, there's no seriousness in it. If there's seriousness in it, you're not going to really know about it. Honestly, because
Most Christians are not educated in the Torah to even know the points and the differences between, you know, the Christian fanatic crap that you see on the internet. And the Jews that capitalize on that, because it's like, great, great time to sell things. I mean, it's just, it really is. I know it was one of the things my Orthodox friend said. He's like, listen, it's a marketing scheme. You see some of the stuff happen over here at some of the sites that Jesus visited. We have Jews that sell stuff. He's like, great time for us to, you know, get money out of the...
Do you know which group this is?
Which
that what collected group? The Red Heifers.
Oh, I don't know. No.
No, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think it's one of those groups. I think they are pretty serious. They're very small. Like, no one, like, they don't mean much. But they're doing, like, temple prep. And they make, like, mock vessels that were in the temple. Now, they don't know the exact size, and they're not made out of pure gold, but they're, you know, like, prototypes. But they do it as, you know, preparation. Like, it's like a cute idea, yeah? But you shouldn't take them too seriously. I mean, that something is happening because they found a few red heifers.
Yeah, I think the prayer shawl business is off the chain right now. Yes, Steph, so in closing, because I really have to go, but Steph. So the short version is, if people think they're going to, a supernatural event is going to happen, like they're going to get the perfect spotless blemish, no blemished red heifer, sacrifice it, and then supernaturally the Messiah is going to show up, or anything supernatural is going to happen. I think more likely what's actually, you know, it's like how it started, how it's going, one of those memes, like how it started, maybe that, but how it's going is more likely someone's going to have this red heifer at some point, they're going to sacrifice it, and then they're going to try to make it a self-fulfilled prophecy and use that for like some political start, so the governments can then use that and say, well, we have this happened, and either through false flags or just brute force, like they're going to be like, okay, this is a sign from God, even though they totally did it, that we must take this temple back. And they're going to use it to kick everyone out and, you know, basically be like, do you want to implode the world over us taking our temple? And then I guess we'll see if the world backs down or not.
So no one's worried about that then. All right.
No, wait. Hang on. No one is thinking supernaturally. I don't think this is going to happen anytime soon. I think, yeah, I mean, what I said, I mean, yeah, we're worried about world war, sure. But I think it's going to be politically motivated and like a self-fulfilling prophecy more than they finally find the one time to sacrifice the right cow. And, you know, because more than that, the only supernatural one that's going to happen is that's like the Antichrist is going to show up at some point. So I think the most overt, like supernatural revelation prophetic thing that's going to happen is, you know, they will, one of these things will link to another, either through man trying through their own strength to make prophecy be fulfilled. And really that just sets it up for them to be like, oh, look, because of this, now we have permission to take the temple, and this is what happens, and it's going to be led by this nice upstarting general. What's his name? Oh, the Beast? Oh, that's interesting, Mr. The Beast. I have a feeling it's just going to be like every movie you've ever seen, how man tries to do something, and then it gets away from them, and then somewhere down the road, actual prophecy happens, and they're like, oh, oops. But anyway.
Oh, you mean like Ishmael?
Hey, really fast.
Shout out, Abram.
Mayor, do you know if this is like supposedly the 10th red heifer? Like in alignment with the
Romans? I don't know. I don't believe any of them have been checked properly. I don't believe they know the exact color. It can't have any brown, even two brown hairs. So, I mean, we don't have the tradition anymore. What color is brown? I mean, I know in English will be called brown. It doesn't mean that's brown and that's red. Rav Sadia Gaon, who lived, I don't know, he lived in like what's modern day Iraq in like I think the year 700. Yeah. He had a more like honey, yellowish, brownish color to it. So that like throws the entire redness off. So nobody that actually wants the Messiah, I shouldn't say nobody, but most people don't take this too seriously. And if it's a group I'm thinking of, they're more like preppers than anything else. They're getting things ready. And it's like, I think it's like a nice like thought, but they're not going to start
guys, any
political.
I really got a roll. I'm out of time. Serious. So the short answer is no one knows what they're doing, but yeah, come back tomorrow and we can talk more about this, but I think that's it. Right, anyways, thank you everyone. Have a good day.
Hey, homework for everybody. Describe how chartreuse smells.